Perhaps some of you have heard of a red carpet affair. A red carpet affair or an occasion is where dignitaries and VIPs or celebrities are escorted into an event on the, you see them walk in on the red carpet. The red carpet is a designated place, it's a space designed for the entrance of the elite. We see it all the time, y'all, with the Grammys, at the Emmys, at the Oscars, don't we? That those events are preceded by a red carpet affair. That the stars drive up in cars that most of us cannot afford. That many of them are wearing sparkling jewelry that would blind Stevie Wonder. That they're sporting fashions designed with designer names that I dare to say most of them I cannot pronounce. And yo, I found out something though. Listen, there is actually a guide out there that tells you how to pronounce some of these names of these fashion designers. So I can say Versace. And all the while, spectators stare at their favorite star, their favorite celebrity, that they're starstruck, and they gaze at them, and the way I've seen it happen at some church conferences, too. But again, the red carpet, it symbolizes a designated place, a designated space for the entrance of the elite. And so today, y'all, I wonder if we can go together, we can visit together to a red carpet affair. And I'm not talking about a red carpet affair in Hollywood, California, but to the holy city of Jerusalem. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And it reads as thus, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying the colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David, praise God in highest heaven. And so this morning, I simply want to talk to us this morning from the thought of a red carpet affair. A red carpet affair. So this crowd gets wind that this dignitary is coming to town. And while some people wait in eager anticipation and expectation, and they're ready to applaud him and to praise him, there's another group of people that don't want to see him, that they want to arrest him, to apprehend him in red hot contempt. And so we visit this red carpet affair today, not simply as lookers, but learners, trying to understand what are some lessons that we can gain from Jesus' entry, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. What do we make of this triumphant entry, not only into Jerusalem, but the triumphant entry of Jesus into our lives? Anybody glad that Jesus came into your life? Yeah. Don't fool me now. That I'm so glad that he knew my address and that I found it. I didn't have to look hard. But Jesus came into my life and I'm glad about it. But what do we make of this Jesus that comes into our life? We say he comes into our heart. What do we make of this? Knowing that Jesus wants to come into every area, Brian, of our lives. Even those areas that we deem off limits. So the text, it was Passover. We know that. It's Passover was the commemoration. It was a remembrance of liberation of the Israelites out of Egypt. Listen, there ought to be a spiritual marker in our lives anytime God delivers us. If you know God delivered you from sin, that there ought to be a spiritual marker in your life where you celebrate your deliverance, your liberation from whatever it was. If God freed you from something, whatever it might be, listen, there ought to be, you ought to put a praise on it. There ought to be a spiritual marker in your life as to what God has done for you and for me. But can you visualize for a minute the dignitaries that are in Jerusalem? These VIPs, these religious leaders, these chief priests, these Pharisees and these Sadducees and these uppity-ups coming into town. Can you imagine? Maybe they wear these beautifully decorated robes, these designer robes. And they travel with their entourages. Their names are on the list of the who's who. They're part of the in crowd, y'all. And then making his way towards the city of Jerusalem is Jesus. And Jesus has his ragtag team, assorted team of temporary unemployed fishermen. In his entourage, y'all, in his crowd, in his team, there's a wayward tax collector. And there are a number of women. And some may have had questionable reputations or backgrounds. So they stop at a neighboring town where the King Jesus instructs two of his disciples to make ready his private transportation. His transportation would carry him in a parade, would lead him up into Jerusalem. But what would be his chariot? What form of transportation would be suitable for God in the flesh? Surely nothing less than a strong, tall stallion, this war horse of a steed. Nothing less than that. Nothing less than that would be fitting for our Savior. Today we might say, nephew, it's a Bentley, that it's, you know, it's a Mercedes or a stretch limo. But when we read the story, y'all, look at the story carefully, that Jesus chose a donkey, a lowly animal, and it was a rented one at that. So we know the story. It's in the text that Jesus told his disciples, y'all, to go into the village. And when you go in, you'll see a donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie him, loose him, set him free and bring him here. And if anyone asks what you are doing, tell them the Lord needs it and will return it. And so they do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. They go into town, Rembarnell, and they see the donkey. They untie the donkey. And wouldn't you know it, there's some folk ask him, what do you want this donkey for? Now I need y'all to stop there. Look at this. Look at this in today's, how we would do it today. Listen, so you go to Hertz rental car. And you drive, you run up in it. You grab some keys out of the key box. And you go out to a car and you jump in and you're ready to start it up. And one of the attendants, what do you want with this? What you taking the car for? The Lord has need of it. So the text is really a fulfillment of the scripture that was read this morning in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. That this situation would occur. And some believe that Jesus had prearranged this deal with the owners. That's how it happened. That's why it happened. And some believe it was a divine act of God Almighty. But, you know, however it unfolds, however it happens, listen, if it were me, Sister Tony, I would have wanted a backup plan. I would have said to the disciples, listen, y'all get some bail money ready in case this don't go down the way Jesus said it's going to go down. But what I want to draw your attention to first in the text is, I don't have any points up there, and so people are looking for them. You're not going to see them, and so it's okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I just want us to talk to us this morning about this red carpet affair. I want to draw your attention to the donkey because I believe we can learn a valuable lesson from this beast of burden. See, people always think that donkeys are, that they're dumb, that they're not very intelligent. But when you do some research, do your own research, you'll beg to differ. They're really strong and intelligent creatures. That a donkey is stronger than a horse of the same size. Donkeys have an incredible memory. They can recognize places and other donkeys that they've been to 25 years earlier. A donkey will not do something it considers to be unsafe. That's why we think that they're so stubborn. But if they think something is unsafe, they're simply not going to do it. It's difficult to force or frighten a donkey into doing something that's contrary to what they think ought to be done, that's going to be unsafe to them. Donkeys are more independent than they're thinking than other horses, that they reason well. That training a donkey relies upon showing him or her by words and actions that they can trust you to protect them from harm. So Jesus, here Jesus was able to ride this young donkey, y'all, that had never been ridden. It was untrained, untied and untrained, and it served Jesus without reservation or hesitation. That this donkey served Jesus without reservation or hesitation. It didn't bump, buck or jump or try to run away. When it comes to our service to the Lord, I wonder sometimes, Brother Kevin, if maybe we need to be more like a donkey. So some people say, listen, stop acting like a jack and you fill in the blank. But maybe we need to be more like the donkey. Can you trust Jesus enough that if he asks you to do a thing that you'll get up and do it? Will you not buck and jump and scream and holler when Jesus asks you to give a certain thing? Maybe it is. We need to be more like the donkey in the story, more trusting of Jesus, that he'll do whatever he says he will do. And we should do whatever he asks of us. It was evangelist Billy Graham that said, the highest form of worship is a worship of unselfing Christian service. So I'm glad we got a bunch of donkey-minded people in the house today. Like the donkey, y'all, we're glad to give service to God. Yeah. That whatever God asks you to do, you will do. Yeah. Wherever he asks you to go, you will go. How many service-minded people do we have here in Living Faith this morning? That whatever God wants from your life, that God can get that out of your life. And so the donkey, in a sense, kind of, he represents service. That he allows Jesus to get, never been ridden before, but he allows Jesus to get on and to ride him without hesitation and without reservation. But we also need to glad to give, we see significance in the text. Give what is significant to the Lord. The text says that the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. In other words, y'all, they took their cloaks there and they put them on the saddle, and Jesus was able to, it became his saddle. He was able to rest and sit comfortably on the donkey. The text lets us know, in like manner, also some of the crowd spread their garments or cloaks on the road while others spread the branches. They spread, y'all, what we got today. We got these palm branches that they spread them on the road. They took their garments, though, y'all, their outer garments, which really would have been important to them. In this palm and robe ceremony, this red carpet affair, y'all, that they laid down what was important to them, their outer garments really would have been important. That it protected them from the sun in the day. It protected them when it got cold at night. But it was not so significant to them. It was not so much important that they would not take it and throw it down, and the donkey would ride over it. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder sometimes what cloaks do we have? Things that we see that are significant in our lives, yeah, that we're willing to throw down and give to Jesus. Yeah. I wonder sometimes what cloaks might I have that I want to hide in the closet, y'all. Jesus, you can't come into this place and you can't have this. What things are so significant in your life, in my life, that God cannot have? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that it all belongs to him. He's just letting us borrow it anyway. So we see in this text that they laid down what was important to them. Jesus is surrounded not by royal robes, but robes of the poor, and they gladly offer their robes for the master's use. They offer what is significant. Yeah, most of us probably have some jackets, some coats in the closet. Some of y'all got some mink, some chinchilla probably, some rabbit, some skunk, some you got in your closet. And we know here in San Antonio, y'all, we don't need it most of the time anyway. It's hot most of the time. Then we need it. We put it on when we go to the car, and as soon as we get into the building, we take it off. And sometimes we wear some of that stuff because we want to show we got some of that stuff, don't we? Tell the truth and shame the devil. For many in the crowd, their garment would have been a significant thing, but they simply threw it down on the ground, trampled underfoot. But it was not so important to them. They weren't so concerned whether it would be damaged or dirty or whatever it was. They couldn't throw it down and have it for Jesus' use. It was significant, but they allowed the Lord to use it. It was for his glory. So again, I ask you the question, if the cloaks represented what was important, what's so important to you today that you cannot surrender to? I'm so glad that we have people in the house today that you surrender your cloaks to him. What's significant to you? I'm grateful for the praise team that will show up Thursday night after Thursday night, and you give 2 hours of two hours of rehearsal time, and you show up early on a Sunday morning because you give what's significant to the Lord, that you give your time and you give your voices to the Lord. Thank you for offering your cloaks. What's significant in giving it to God? I thank God for our ushers and for our greeters each and every Sunday that you throw down your cloak. You give what's important to the Lord. That things in your life may not be going well, but you still greet people with a smile. You usher them to their seats. And I thank God for you. For all of you who contribute, you know, month after month or week after week, that you give your tithe, you give your offering to the Lord for the benefit of God and for his kingdom and for this ministry too. So I thank all of you for being willing to throw down your cloak, to give what's significant, to give what's important to the Lord and to his work. Maybe I prefer to keep some things in the back of the closet, though. But this morning, this Palm Sunday, whatever's significant to you, God, I surrender it to you and I give it to you. God, if you need it, I give it to you freely. I give it to you wholly. It's for your use. Like the donkey, we are people that are willing to give service to the Lord. Like the crowd, we gladly give what is significant for Jesus and for his use. But finally, y'all, I want us to see in the text, like the multitude that celebrated Jesus as their deliverer, we too have to offer the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise to God. We owe Jesus on this Palm Sunday, hear me now, we owe him the sacrifice, praise. We owe Jesus, y'all, the sacrifice of praise. We owe Jesus the fruit of our lips. We owe Jesus a hallelujah. We owe him a hosanna in the highest. We owe him a glory to God. That we owe him praise today, y'all. But I want to offer some lessons, some caution and commitment in our sacrifices of praise. Now listen, the red carpet affair, y'all, it's in full swing. It's going on. Jesus, the King of Kings, is on his way to Jerusalem. But listen, the crowd is going wild and shouting, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. So now there's a problem here for some people. It's a caution to all of us. Rather than praising Jesus for being God and the Savior, they praise God that God sent this man that would deliver them from Roman oppression. That's what they thought. That this is the ancestor of David. David was a mighty warrior. So certainly, Pius, that when Jesus comes, the Messiah comes, that he's going to restore Israel to their former glory and to their former status, y'all, that they would have it going on. That no longer would the Roman Empire oppress them and keep them down. That's what they thought. But did anybody really pay attention to the fact that Jesus rode into town on this donkey, this animal of peace? That he didn't come in on a war horse, y'all. He rode in on a donkey. Yeah, yeah. Did anyone notice that he didn't have a great army or military power with him? He had this ragtag team of disciples. No mighty army with him. Is it possible, y'all, that the liberation from cruelty and suffering and oppression blinded them to God, that what God really wanted to do? That God came to save people from their sins. Not simply a man who came to work miracles, and miracles are good, but the ultimate purpose of Jesus' coming was to set us free from our sins, to die for your sins and to die for my sins. Yes, yes. Is it possible in this day and age in which we live that we really missed the focus, the coming of Jesus Christ, of why he really died for us. Are we so wrapped up in our ways of seeing things and our issues that we have in our own minds today, and have we reformulated how we see Jesus and who he is today? There's some today now just see him as a great political leader. And so they're on the political agenda, that they made a divide and say, I'm on this side of the line, you're on that side of the line. But if you're on this side and you need to be saved and I'm on that side, well, who gonna bring the gospel to you? That we so shifted and changed things in our head that it makes no sense at all. That we know that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And so he calls us to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to evangelize, to go and let them know. So we can't get it twisted. So in their praise to Jesus, y'all, they saw him as a great military and political leader. That they gave him the royal treatment, y'all, with the palms and the pomp and the circumstance. But later, they give him the silent treatment at Calvary. You look around and nobody's there. That on this day, they're gonna cry out, Hosanna in the highest. But there's another crowd just a few days later will say, hang him. Take him to the cross and kill him. I'm glad that our main motivation, Living Faith Community Church, is to praise Jesus as Savior. Yes. It's not just the stuff that he liberates us from. Yes. And we thank him that he liberates us from stuff, y'all. Maybe he liberated you or freed you from alcohol. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was lying. Maybe it was cheating. What it be? Maybe it's poverty. He liberated you, but more, it's more important about what he liberates us to. And he liberates us to the Father. He liberates us to freedom in him. He liberates from brokenness, from sin. He liberates us to the Father. He liberates us to him. And so we have to keep in mind, keep the caution in mind, to keep it important that it's all about Jesus and the fact that he came and he died for us. But he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. So listen, y'all. In offering our sacrifice of praise, the second word of caution can be found in the triumphal entry story according to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19 records, y'all, a conversation between the Pharisees who were in the crowd. The crowd was celebrating, they were celebrating Jesus with all these shouts and all of these shouts of joy. So the Pharisee says, teacher, listen, rebuke them. Tell them to shut up with all of that noise. Tell them to be quiet. What did Jesus say? It was said this morning. He said, listen, if they shut up, the very rocks will cry out. I want to say to somebody right now, listen, if we don't shout, if we don't, the very rocks will cry out. And I don't want a rock to cry out in my place. Can I give you that word of caution this morning? If you know God has done for you, you ought to shout. You ought to bless his name. You ought to open up your mouth. You ought to tell him thank you this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell it wherever I go. And certainly in the house of God, in the house of God, we ought to be able to come together and give praise to God. In the house of God, where the people of God are. To tell people what God has done, what he's done for us. I know some people that are here today, and I thank God for you, that you're like a blind Bartimaeus, that he knew that Jesus was coming through a certain place, and he began to shout out. Yeah. That's it. Preach with me. That he tried to get his attention. What did his disciples tell him to shut up? Man, shut up. But he cried out. He cried out the more. I'm glad we got some people in the house like that today. That you'll cry out the more. You don't care who's beside you. You don't care who's looking at you. You know what God did for you. And you'll bless his name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, hallelujah. I'm just observing some things about this red carpet affair. Again, I'm always refreshed by the folk that no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter what they're going through, that they always have a praise to give to God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, you still have a praise to give to God. And when I see you praising God the way you praise God, I can't help but to praise God too. When I know what you're going through and I look at my situation and you're praising God, I got to praise God too. And I praise God for you and I praise God with you. As the people of God, we
We have to learn not to be ashamed of our praise and our worship. I keep saying that I believe it ought to be demonstrative. We ought to lift up our hands. Sister Di, we ought to open up our mouth. Wherever we go in the grocery store, we ought to tell the postal person, y'all, wherever we go, that God is good. And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
That God has done too much for you and for me for us to simply be quiet. So in my mind, y'all, Jesus' triumphal entry is symbolized and it represented a red carpet affair. The story is just as relevant for us today as it was in the crowd. We must be committed to the idea that Jesus is worthy of our praise and adoration as delivering King. We have the privilege of knowing Jesus truly as our Savior. While the people in Jesus' day couldn't fully comprehend it, nevertheless, they offered praise to God. According to John's gospel, the crowd didn't wait for Jesus to get to Jerusalem. John said that while he was yet on his way, that the crowd met him on the road. I wonder if we got some people in the house today that you start praising God before you got to the church house. That you met Jesus on the way when you woke up this morning. Close in your right mind that you met Jesus on the way to the house of God. I believe something would happen if we meet Jesus on the way to the house of God. So when we get to the house of God, praise will be off the chain. Did you meet Jesus before you got here this morning? When you woke up this morning, did you have a praise on your lips? That they started praising before they got to Jerusalem. I believe some people here today, you started praising before you got to the house of God. When you woke up and you were breathing, you started praising God. When you looked around and your spouse, she was breathing, your children, you started praising God. When you put your feet on the floor, you could put one foot in front, you started praising God. When you went to the refrigerator, there was food, you started praising God. When you jumped into your automobile, you were able to drive, you started praising God. When you got to the house, you were already filled with praise. Nobody had to prime your pump. Nobody had to prime your pump. You know what God did for you. You know he deserves the praise. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. So I want to let y'all know the red carpet is rolled out today, y'all. Y'all got y'all palms right now. I want you to raise your palm up right now. Raise your palm up and wave it like you just don't care. You don't care who's looking at you. You don't know, but your praise is to God. You know what God did for you. You know how he saved you. You know how he raised you. You know how he kept you. You know how he's keeping you right now. God, you deserve the glory. God, you deserve the praise. God, you deserve the honor. And God, we give it to you today on this Palm Sunday. Nobody like you, oh God. Nobody like you, oh God. If we wave our palm, we give our praise to you today. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for saving my life. I thank God for keeping me. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah. Y'all, each Sunday, the invisible Jesus, by power of his Holy Spirit, he shows up in the house. And too oftentimes we're afraid or scared when to give praise to God. But he's here right now. And he deserves your praise. He's here right now, and he deserves your praise. Oh, he's been better than that. He's here right now, and he deserves your praise. He's here right now, and he deserves your praise. He's done too much for me to be quiet, too much for me to shut up. On this Palm Sunday, I give praise to God. I thank God for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his joy unspeakable. Thank him for his saving power. Thank him for his peace. God has been too good for us to shut up. Today, right now, this is a red carpet affair. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, O God. Oh, that men would lift up hands unto you, O God, and bless your name in the house today, O God. You deserve it, God. You deserve it. You deserve it. On this palm, you deserve it, oh God. And we bless your name, so we lift our hands and we lift our voice and we offer praises in this place today, oh God. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your saving power. Thank you for your saving power. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for your joy unspeakable. Thank you for being God all by yourself. God, thank you for not giving me what I really deserve. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, oh God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being God all by yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for going to Calvary's cross. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that 3 days later you got back up in all power. And God, we praise you and we bless you. And God, we praise you and we bless you. And we thank you, oh God. God, thank you for this red carpet affair. That we serve an audience of one. That there's really one that's worthy of going down the red carpet. That our eyes are focused on him. Our hearts are only one in his name. And his name is Jesus. And he's worthy. And we bless him. And we praise him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise one more time in the house? Oh, he's been better than that. Can we praise him one more time? God, you have been good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We're not ashamed to praise your name and to bless you. God, you've been too good for us to shut up and be quiet. And we bless your name today, oh God. You alone are worthy. And we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you and we praise you. So we live. That's it, sing. If you knew it, come on, sing it. Come on, sing it one time. Come on, Drill. Lead them. Lead them, Drill. Come on. If you know the song, welcome, 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 welcome. Come on. Worship him. Come on, you're welcome, God. You're welcome. Come on in. Have your way. Come on, sing it if you know it. God, you desire, you desire, your desire. You want to abide in us, oh God, in your praises, oh God. So, God, we lift our hands. Come on, can you lift your voice right now? Lift your voice in praise. Come on, offer it up to him. Offer it up to him. Hallelujah. And the church said amen. The church said amen. God, we thank you for this word today. God, we bless your name in this moment. That we are not ashamed of the gospel. God, you've been too good. And so collectively, God, as a congregation, we present to you this red carpet affair. And we say again to you, welcome into our hearts and into our lives. As we offer to you, Lord God, the sacrifice of praise. Regardless of what we're going through, we've been through, oh God, you're still worthy. And we bless your name today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise now one more time. Perhaps there's someone here today and you're not in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That we admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the Bible says that none of us are right or righteous, no, not one. Apart from the righteousness of Jesus, we have no righteousness at all. But because of Jesus, because he went to Calvary's cross, because he died for you and for me, because 3 days later he got back up with all power, gives us the power to be saved, that God loved you and me so much that he gave his only son for you and for me. And so we admit that we have all sinned, that we repent, we turn from our sins, we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that settles it, we are saved. Does it mean that we're totally right? We're walking out? We go through this process of sanctification. We're walking it out to be more like Jesus, to talk more like Jesus. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus that you have to confess him. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And perhaps you're believing that for the first time today. Or maybe you're already a born again believer, but you don't have a place in this moment, in this hour, where you worship on a regular basis, where you serve with other believers on a regular basis. And so we want to invite you today to make Living Faith Community Church your church home or your church choice. That this is the church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. I was sharing with someone this morning that I'm believing God for supernatural growth in this congregation. But it's like God spoke to me. He said, no matter how much supernatural growth you want, it's going to take the natural use of your mouth, the natural use of your hands and your feet, and going telling people about me. And in you, I'll do the supernatural. But will you do the natural part and tell people about me? Will you open up your mouth? Will you tell your next door neighbor? Will you tell your coworker about Jesus? That we're about building the kingdom of God, bringing people to Jesus. All the other stuff, y'all, is just fluff. That if we're not about the Matthew 28 mandate, we're here for the wrong reason. That we just become a social club. We do lots of wonderful things, y'all. We celebrate. We have lots of wonderful meals and fellowships. But at the end of the day, it's about bringing people to Jesus. And I know we got some folk in this house today that aren't ashamed of the gospel to tell it wherever you go, whether you're at the gymnasium, at the HEB, or on your job, that Jesus is real. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm just saying that's our mandate, not just the pastors, not just church leaders, but for every member, it's our responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus. And the church said, so would there be one? Amen. Our ushers are standing in the back right now. If you are in the house today, perhaps you are already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a church somewhere, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church home. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. So right where you are, our ushers have their hands extended. They'll lead you to room number one across the hallway. They'll ask for some information, collect some information, and we'll welcome you to this church, amen, with open arms. If you're believing for the first time, we welcome you. We welcome you. Our ushers have their hands extended. Follow them to room number one. They'll pray the prayer of faith with you, prayer of faith, believing in Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. They'll give you some information. We'll welcome you too with open arms. Would there be one? Would there be one? Would there be one? We don't rush this moment. Would there be one? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. Don't leave here. Don't leave this earth without a relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as you have breath in your body right now, you have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In this moment, you do. So, but you don't know when you're going to leave here. Just because you're young, that doesn't mean you're going to live a long life. But as long as you have breath in your body, if you have not received him, receive him in this moment. Hear these words. Follow one of our ushers to room number one. If you need to know more about the gospel, nor about Jesus, we'll explain it to you. But this is what this ministry is all about, connecting real life to a real faith. Would there be one? Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.